You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning, we're close enough. It is Tuesday. Sticking with it, believe it or not, I don't believe it. So, Locked On Wolverines podcast, we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We are T-minus 24 hours before I depart for Indianapolis, and we are 2 days away from the Big Ten Media Days, and Michigan goes on day one, so very excited to do that. I'm going to give a little preamble and say that when I do call for questions tomorrow for the mailbag for Thursday, get your questions in earlier than later, because I'm not recording at 7 p.m. or so on Thursday night. We are recording bright and early before I head over to Lucas Oil Stadium. FYI. Just getting that in now. Anyway, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. We are going to keep this one short and sweet for the most part. And basically what I am going to do is I came up with 10 new bold predictions, because my last bold predictions piece I did in the spring wasn't really that bold. It was just kind of like 10 predictions, 10 things I think are going to happen. These are things that I'm making that are bold predictions, which I guess in a way means I don't think they're necessarily going to happen. So I guess I don't know what the point of it. I mean, it's kind of the thing with bold predictions anyway. It's hard, you know. I feel like when people put bold predictions out, generally they're not things that you say, yeah, that's definitely going to happen. It's like, well, maybe that could happen. I have 10 of them. We're going to spend the whole show going through them. We'll do 4 in the first segment, 3 and 3. And I'll explain them, obviously. So, all right, let's go ahead and get to it. Number one, Michigan has 1,000 yard rusher. I think that is definitely a bold prediction, because it's a pretty loaded room. I mean, you got three guys, and not everyone has to get 100 yards every game, but I mean, it's really difficult to say that you're gonna, you know, that there's gonna be a 200 yard game in there maybe to make up for it. Ultimately, one player would have to stay healthy. And if we're talking regular season only, 12 games, they would have to rush for 83 yards a game. So to me, it kind of seems like, well, that seems like that is doable. You know, if you want to include the bowl game, assuming Michigan gets to a bowl game, at 76 yards a game. Say you get a couple 150-yard games or whatever. If I was to pick, obviously, I'd go Hassan Haskins. But I think Michigan's going to get a 1,000-yard rusher this year. At least that's what I'm predicting in my bold predictions. Loaded group. But I think that they are able to they're going to prioritize the running game a lot more based off of especially how things went last year. I do think that, I mean, they're going to pass a ton. But again, I think that the offensive line is probably geared more towards run blocking. So I think that that's going to be a priority, to take a little bit of the pressure off of the pass game to some degree. I don't think they're going to go full-on air raid regardless of who the quarterback is at this point, is kind of what I'm saying. Number two, Aiden Hutchinson has 10-plus sacks. I mean, that's a ton. That's a sack a game. I think you got to go back a little ways to really be able to tell. The last time, I think, was it Taco Charlton was the last one that probably had 10 sacks in a season? I feel like it's been a while, obviously. But I think that you're going to see him just dominate. I think that he's that type of player that can just dominate. For perspective, last year, no one had more than two. He didn't have any, but I mean, he only played in two games and change. Kwity Paye and Carlo Kempich had two last year. Josh Uche had 8.5 the year before. Josh Uche had 7 the year before. Kalik Hudson and Chase Winovich in 2017 had 8 each. The last time, I was right, Taco Charlton had 10 in 2016. Here's the thing. I think that Aiden Hutchinson is better than all of the above. So it's been Taco is the only one that's had that type of production going back all the way to 2019 or 2009, rather. Brandon Graham had 9.5. That's the closest. So I'm really going out on a limb there by suggesting that Aiden Hutchinson's going to have numbers like that. I think if anyone can do it, it's him. And I think in the new role, it's going to really make him that much more formidable. All right, number three, the linebacking core is competent. That shouldn't be a bold prediction. But like I've said, I have no faith right now in the linebacking core. And I know some of it, like, it's for all of the talk that I have of, like, hey, some of us have the selective memory, only remembering things that happened last year. And even though I think that's an aberration, you know, like Josh Ross was the dude, and he was excellent in 2018, platooning at the Will linebacker spot with Devin Gill. I mean, it was mostly Josh Ross at that position, and he played very, very good. Then he was injured in 2019, and he did not have a good showing in 2020. However, I think a big part of that was, hey, we're going to run a lot more zone and getting kind of, as Don Brown would have said, lost in the soup, so to speak. So you're asking a lot from him and Michael Barrett, Junior Colson, if he ends up being a big part of it. I'm not even really still including the defensive ends that are outside linebackers. I'm kind of more talking about the guys who are your typical linebackers. And I guess you can include like a Jalen Harrell or David Ajabo in that. David Ajabo is probably your quintessential outside linebacker, but I think he was kind of a little bit more outside linebacker than defensive end, just kind of regardless in a way. So, yeah, I'm including your Josh Uche types as a linebacker. Just like I always included Josh Uche with the linebackers and not the defensive ends, and other people considered him to be a defensive end just because he rushed the passer most of the time. Did not have the body of a traditional defensive end, right? You're not sitting there looking at Josh Uche and putting him in the same category as Chris Wormley. You know what I mean? All right, number four, and then we'll move on. Whomever the starting quarterback is, if they are healthy all season, and that is a big caveat, they near the single season passing record, which is 3,331 yards in a season. That was set by John Navarre, 2003. Listen, every year I say they're going to eclipse that. And I'm probably going to continue to predict it every year because, you know what, that's a very low number in today's college football, right? When you have people like Dwayne Haskins throwing for 5,000 yards in a year or Joe Burrow doing the same thing, you know? So when you think about it, like, let's look just at last year. In overall yards, like Mac Jones threw for 4,500 yards last year. Kyle Trask threw for 4,283. Like, okay, not everybody, keep in mind, there was only a handful of guys who played 12, 13 games, like normal. There was only really a small handful. But for the most part, like, so there were seven guys who would have eclipsed that number last year. And only four of them played a full complement of games. You go back to 2019, however, same, you know, go to the same deal. You have 20 guys who passed for more than that. So I guess I must be predicting that whoever Michigan's quarterback is looks pretty good. But still. I mean, Joe Burrow in 2019, granted he had 15 games to do it, threw for 5,671. I just think that, I'm not saying they're going to eclipse it, I just think it's going to get close, which is kind of where Shea Patterson was in 2019. It's kind of where Jake Rudock was in 2015. Some years are different than others. 19 and above, 19 guys did that number and above in 2018. So, I mean, I think it's something that can be done. And some of these quarterbacks aren't ones that you look at and say, man, that guy was great. You know what I mean? Like this Tua Tagovailoa, I never even heard of this guy. Before you get at me, that was sarcasm. Anyway, I think that whoever it is going to near that mark. All right, let's continue on. We've got 6 more bold predictions to get to. We'll get to those momentarily, but before we do, betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Listen, football might be over. NBA and is, you know, it's rearing down. Not over yet. Major League Baseball in full swing, though. BetOnline, it also covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds, and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It is free to sign up. So head over to betonline.ag, sign up today, use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's continue. We've got 6 more left. Let's hit 3 this segment, 3 more after that. So number 5 as far as bold predictions are concerned, Eric All and Mike Samer still look as advertised as from spring 2019. Listen, every time I talk to guys on or off the record, and they talk about both of those guys like they snag everything. I told you last year, not quite around this time, a little later, I believe, but remember last year talking about how I was walking over the bridge at the stadium and saw Joe Milton throw a dime of a fade and just a wonderful reel in by Mike Sainer still. Like, we saw it, like, in the spring game, but more so, I think, in that open practice the week beforehand in 2019. Like, both of them just looked like studs. And the fact that they can't, like, because everything we heard about them, both of those guys. And I feel like Eric All will have more of an opportunity than Sainer still because he's going to be the guy at tight end. But the thing that we heard about both of those guys, they just don't drop anything. Anything thrown their way, it's like it's sticking to their hands like glue. So to me, like, what has happened for them in games more so the last couple years, particularly the last year, is a case of the yips. You know, they just it's right there for them. They just kind of got the yips. And I think that having the full complement of practice, having the full complement of non-conference, all of that stuff is going to help them regain their confidence, especially knowing like, hey, I'm not fighting as much for a spot. Sainer still has to a little bit because there are other guys kind of waiting in the wings, right? Like, he could lose his job to, you know, his job in the rotation to A.J. Henning. You know what I mean? But I think before would have been, what will be interesting to see with Sainer still in particular is how much he steps up in the wake of Giles Jackson having transferred. So I think that it's kind of their time, you know? I think they'll look way more like what we expected. Next one up, Jamon Green has 3 or more interceptions. I'm kind of more towards 3 because I think that's what, like, and before you scoff, number one, he really came on late last year. I know there were only 2 interceptions last year. No corners had any interceptions. But generally, one of the 2 main corners tends to get 3. So I guess my bold prediction is that he's going to stay kind of on the path set before him. In 2019, both LeVert and Ambry both had 3 interceptions. In 2018, Brandon Watson had 3, along with Josh Metellus. In 2017, no one had 3. It was a bunch of 2s. 2016, Channing Stribling had 4. I kind of look at Jamon Green as kind of a Channing Stribling type as it is. So I think that that's what I think is probably it's a pretty good comp for him. So I could definitely see him having that type of year like Channing did in 2015 in particular. Maybe 26 to 2015 when he had 2. Jameer Clark had 3 that year. But I think that Jamon Green is ready kind of for the glow up, and he's the one cornerback that I feel pretty confident in after what we saw at the end last year. I think the lights turned on. Now, could revert. That happens. We've seen it. We talked about Josh Ross earlier. But I think that Jamon Green is kind of ready for the spotlight. Next one, final one of this segment, and before we finish out, Michigan beats one team that it's an underdog to. So, I think, you know, depends on how big of an underdog, right? Will Michigan be an underdog against Washington when that game comes around? I think it will depend heavily on how those teams fare in their week ones. Like, I think probably going into the season, people are going to say, yeah, Washington's probably the favorite to some degree. But if Michigan goes and blows the doors off of Western Michigan, Washington looks okay against, I don't know who their first opponent is, things will change. But obviously, the teams in which Michigan is likely to be an underdog to would be Washington, Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Perhaps Indiana, but that game's at home, so maybe not. But I'll say it's one of those four. I think it's a super long shot that Michigan beats Ohio State. But by the end of the season, who knows what kind of world we'll be seeing as far as the college football dynamics are concerned. Washington, I think, is a pretty safe bet. Penn State, I also think, is a pretty safe bet as well. Michigan almost pulled off the win in Happy Valley a couple years ago. I think if this Michigan team can come out less flat on the road, then that's a completely different story. Wisconsin feels kind of like a long shot as well to me. They haven't won in Madison since 2001. They've at least won in Happy Valley in Jim Harbaugh's tenure. Washington, who knows? But I think Michigan will go out and beat one team that it has no business beating as far as what the odds are concerned. Now, has no business beating? Really, there's only one team that Michigan has no business beating right now, and that's Ohio State. Because still, regardless of 2020, Penn State, Wisconsin, and Washington are all kind of contemporaries of Michigan. But nonetheless, I think that they'll beat one team that they're not supposed to beat. I think credit the new coaching staff in that light. We'll see what happens. All right, we'll finish out here in just a moment. But before we do, rockauto.com. It's a family business, and they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and the prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, we've got three more. Let's rock through them here. Number eight. Like I said in number seven, Michigan beats one team it's an underdog to. Next one. Michigan loses one game it has no business losing. Now, that shouldn't be a bold prediction because I think like in the Jim Harbaugh tenure, we talk about a lot of these, you know, hey, you should have won this and what should have won that. For the most part, he hasn't really lost to teams that he's not supposed to lose to. Last year against Michigan State, absolutely. Indiana was clearly on the up, whatever. If they would have lost to Rutgers, I mean, as good as I think Rutgers is starting to be, they still have no business losing to Rutgers yet. Penn State, they probably had no business losing to Penn State last year. But quarterback injury, the first half, defensive woes, injuries across the board. But, like, you look at who Michigan's lost to. Starting in 2015, Utah was pretty good, so fair. Michigan State end up going to the college football playoff, but that's probably the one where you'd say Michigan had no business losing that game. 2016, they had no business losing to Iowa. Florida State, they just didn't want to be in that game. And before you protest, remember, I was there. I was there all week. They did not want to be in that game. 2017, they had no business. There was only one team they had no business losing to, and that was South Carolina. They had that game essentially won and then coughed it up. 2018, Notre Dame ended up being a college football playoff team. Michigan was trying to get things to gel in game one. Fine, whatever. They had no business losing to Ohio State the way they did. They did not care to play against Florida at that point. I mean, it was the third time playing Florida in 4 years. So that's not really an excuse, but Florida was a pretty much an even equal team. 2019, they lost to the teams that you would expect. So really, when it comes down to it, there's only a handful of teams that Michigan has had no business losing to. Iowa, Michigan State in 2017 or 2015 even, maybe. South Carolina, that's pretty much it. So this year it could be Indiana. This year it could be Rutgers, which would really drive the fan base down. Could be Michigan State again. I think they lose one that they're not supposed to lose. Maryland is certainly a possibility the week before the game on the road in College Park. Number 9, the defense ends up being top 20 nationally. And before you scoff because of how bad the defense was last year, again, I'm considering majority of what we saw last year an aberration. Going back to 2011, Michigan has had, at worst, I think, a top 30 defense. I think that's right. No, top 20. It's had a top 20 defense every year. 2011, 2012, yep, 13th overall. 2013, that was the one where it wasn't a top 20 defense. I don't know where it is. 41. So every year except for that. 2014, it was 7th. 2015, it was 4th. 2016, it was 1st. 2017, it was 3rd. 2018, it was 2nd. 2019, it was 11th. 2020, it was, I don't even know where it is, 84th. So I'm considering it somewhat of an aberration. And if the linebacker thing, if they're competent, got Aiden Hutchinson doing his thing, Jamon Green doing his thing, I think it's all right there for the taking. So I think I'm not saying it's going to be a top 10, and I think there's going to be a lot of moments of cringe, but being a top 20 just kind of means, as MGoBlog would say, reverting to the mean. Finally, last one. Dalen Baldwin is the leading receiver for Michigan, and I know that is, to me, that is bold because Ronnie Bell has been it for the last 2 years. You can sit there and say Cornelius Johnson, but I think Dalen Baldwin is going to come in and light things up. I think he's got a fire. He's ready for the big stage, local product. Granted, he grew up an Ohio State fan, but he was offered by Ohio State, but came to Michigan. He's a big body guy. I think he's going to get involved right away. I think he's going to work. I think he's got a really good attitude, and I think he's going to end up being that outlet. And I think that whoever is under center will be able to utilize him in a way that Nico Collins should have been utilized. So that's what I'm going with. All right, that's my 10 bowl predictions. We will be back hopefully tomorrow. If not tomorrow, definitely Thursday and Friday. But we're going to try for tomorrow. Just got to find some stuff to talk about because it's been quiet. It's the calm before the storm. All right, anyway, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.